Tensions between the United States and China have once again ramped up, with the White House announcing a diplomatic boycott of the Beijing Winter Olympic Games.
The Biden administration will not send any diplomatic or official representation to the Beijing 2022 Winter Olympics and Paralympic Games, given the PRC's ongoing genocide and crimes against humanity in Xinjiang and other human rights abuses.
That was White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki. Jules Boykoff is a former American Olympic footballer. He's now a professor of political science at Pacific University and has authored a number of books on the Olympics. He joins me now. Welcome.
Thank you.
Should the Games be taking place in China, given their human rights record and their ongoing mistreatment of the Uyghurs?
Well, hosting the Olympics in China right now with those ongoing situations you mentioned very much clashes against the principles that are enshrined in the Olympic Charter. So if you're going by the Olympic Charter and the great ideas there, no, this doesn't fit at all. I think the counter argument would be that there are all sorts of countries around the world, including the one where I'm talking to you from, the United States, that have rough human rights records. I mean, on the West Coast where I live, homelessness is a humanitarian crisis in plain sight. And so it becomes difficult to figure out where you might actually hold the Olympics. But there's no question that there's a differentiation right now in that it appears, according to human rights workers, that China is currently carrying out crimes against humanity in Xinjiang province. And that's a real distinguishment.
What's the purpose of the diplomatic boycott? What messages is the US sending to China and the international community?
The purpose is to undercut the possibility of sports washing. Sports washing is the idea that you have a regime, whether it's China, whether it's Russia, whether it's the United States, that uses the Olympics in order to try to launder their reputations on the world stage. And so these mega events are grin and grip festivals where you have these world leaders come from around the planet. They shake hands, they take the photo ops, that appears on social media, and all that affords a certain sense of legitimacy to the host city who's putting this whole event on. And so by deciding to have a diplomatic boycott, the United States has said, we don't want to play a part in that sports washing escapade that you have rolling over there.
How likely do you think it is that other countries will follow the US and not send officials to the Games?
Oh, wow, Patricia. Well, you know, tricky business is prediction these days, especially in a moment of coronavirus and with so much else up in the air. But it wouldn't surprise me at all if you had some strong allies of the United States, perhaps the United Kingdom, maybe Australia, who decides not to send their diplomats as well. Of course, I think it'll depend a little bit on the representatives from the International Olympic Committee who reside in each one of these possible cities. They'll be putting pressure on their governments not to engage in that sort of activity, a diplomatic boycott. And of course, you've got John Coates down there, and he's a real arm twister in the International Olympic Committee. So my guess is he's doing what he can to try to prevent a full-on diplomatic boycott from all quarters.
So how will the US look if other countries don't follow suit?
Well, on one hand, you might say they're putting themselves out there and they're showing their lack of support across the world. On the other hand, hey, if this is what you believe is the right thing to do, I think that will garner a certain amount of respect out there. Even if it's not the popular thing, it feels like for the United States, it's the right thing. And so even if there's zero effect whatsoever, even if China doesn't change anything in terms of its human rights approach, at least the United States government can say at the end of the day that we stood by these principles that we say out loud, even if we happen to violate some of them ourselves in regards to rights, but we stood by these principles out loud and decided not to send people over for the Olympics.
As a former Olympic soccer player, do you think the boycott could leave athletes more vulnerable in China? For instance, if they take a political stand, do they risk doing so without diplomatic protection?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. For me, it's more an issue of what the International Olympic Committee has done recently to signal to athletes that they might not have the International Olympic Committee's protection. And what I mean is the situation involving Peng Shuai, the great Chinese tennis player who was in three Olympics herself, who came out and said, as the world now knows, that the former vice premier sexually assaulted her. And the International Olympic Committee was the only group, apparently, that could make contact with her in China. And they had a 30-minute video call. And in the immediate wake of that video call, Thomas Bach, the president of the International Olympic Committee, was quick to say, oh, she's just fine. We could tell from that 30-minute video call. We're going to grab dinner when I stop into Beijing in January. Well, anybody with, you know, their mind on their shoulders can tell you that just a 30-minute video call really doesn't tell you much about the safety. But back to your question, what it also does is it signals to athletes that, you know, we're going to stick with the power brokers over there in China. We're going to stick with the authoritarians. We're going to basically run political interference on the Peng Shuai situation. And so whether they meant for that to be a message or not, that's certainly what came across. I mean, the International Olympic Committee has this slogan. It is athletes first. But unfortunately, a lot of athletes don't feel that they're being supported by the International Olympic Committee after what happened in the Tokyo Olympics just a few short months ago, where the IOC basically forced it to happen inside of a pandemic with a population that was under-vaccinated. And we saw the coronavirus rate spike across the country during the Olympic Games. And so that really pushed a lot of scales off the eyes of many athletes. And so I think you'd be wise if you were going to Beijing to think once or twice, even though we are living in what is most assuredly the athlete empowerment era, where we've got more and more athletes who are socially conscious and willing to speak their political minds.
Would you have liked to see Joe Biden go further and announce a full-scale athlete-led boycott?
I think at this stage, a diplomatic boycott is fine. Here in the United States, athlete boycotts are tremendously unpopular. After what happened in the 1980s around the Moscow Games, where Jimmy Carter decided to boycott those Olympics, there are many Olympians who now have asterisks by their names because they would have participated in Moscow but didn't get the chance because of that decision by the Carter administration. And many of them are tremendously outspoken, including a power broker in U.S. Olympic circles, Anita de France, who has basically made it her passion to push back against any possibility of a future athlete boycott. So I don't really see that happening. I think with the United States is too scarred by what happened in the 1980s, and it would bring a lot of pushback to the Biden administration. But hey, you know, on the other hand, the fact of the matter is China is essentially a bipartisan punching bag here in the United States. And actually, it might get some support from both the Republicans and the Democrats were the Biden administration to stand up and do something more drastic like an athlete boycott.
The Olympic Charter has the preservation of human dignity as one of its core principles. Should the International Olympic Committee be paying closer attention to their own charter?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's just like basic elementary place to start there. For too long, they've been ignoring these wonderful principles that are enshrined in their charter. And, you know, the hypocrisy has just become too much for a lot of people across the world. And we're seeing it in Technicolor right now in Beijing. The IOC talks a big human rights game, but it did not insist that it become part of the host agreement between the International Olympic Committee and Beijing. Coincidentally, or conveniently perhaps for the International Olympic Committee, they decided to start enshrining human rights principles in the agreement they made with Paris. So 2024, the next Olympics. Well, what do you know? So yes, I think looking at their own charter and starting to live by it would be not too much to ask of the organization.
Finally, China is not the only country with a questionable track record on human rights abuses. And you mentioned this, even your own country having issues, and where do you draw the line? Can big sporting events like the Olympics be used as an opportunity to try and encourage countries to do better?
Well, that's certainly the rhetoric that you get out of Olympic boosters. But, you know, as a historian of the Olympics, I've seen very few examples of it actually working. I think perhaps the strongest example could perhaps be the 1988 Seoul Olympics in South Korea that was happening as the dictatorship was falling down and they were merging toward democracy. But, you know, the people who are boosting the Olympics say a lot of things about the Games. It's going to bring an economic heyday. Well, economists don't really think that's necessarily true. It's going to bring democracy to places that need it. Well, okay, show us the evidence. So I think that at this point and this stage of the Olympics in terms of world history, your listeners would do well to approach them with a little bit of healthy skepticism. If the International Olympic Committee and other organizers at the national level start to really follow through with their promises, well, then maybe they can earn back public trust. But for now, I think it's safe to have some healthy skepticism with what they say.
Jules, thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Jules Boykoff is a professor of political science at Pacific University. This is RN Drive.